All right, episode 20. We've hit 20, which is exciting. And we have a special guest, which is even more exciting. Someone who stopped by to go out to lunch together. And we said, hey, why don't you jump on the podcast and we'll tell some fun graphic design stories. My wife, Rachel, is here in lieu of Rob. Hello, Rachel.
Hello. I have to work for my lunch, I guess.
Yes, yes. So, podcast before lunch, yeah, right? So, Rachel, we actually, for those that don't know, we actually met in design school. And you are a trained designer, and I am a trained designer, and we've been married how many years now?
This August, it'll be 24 years.
24 years. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting for me. Almost 25. That's exciting, too. So we both obviously met in design. I mean, it's a long, boring story. Nobody needs to hear. But we're together. We're not together. We're back together. All sorts of good stuff, right?
In design school.
Yeah. In design school, right? And then, you know, we both get out and do our various different careers, you know, and starting at different places and doing different things, right? But we both do have the mutual love of our initial foundation of graphic design and sort of that sort of professional development, right? And in a previous podcast, we had talked about timeless design, right?
Right.
And one of the designers I had mentioned was Massimo Vignelli. Right,
who's I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a great, famous designer. Mm-hmm. And you have a tremendous amount of experience with Massimo. So I thought it might be fun to sort of share some anecdotes or some stories or some things along the lines of Massimo, his studios, and whatnot. So how do we want to broach this subject and sort of bring it up and whatnot?
Well, I mean, I think something that's really it's interesting to me historically is that growing up a child of the 80s outside of New York City, his work was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what graphic design was.
And we have referenced the New York City transit system on a few episodes.
Sure,
as well.
That's one to start. But I mean, Bloomingdale's, St. Mark's Church, all of these things that he had his mark on. And when he was at Unimark, he did the Xerox logo.
Yeah.
My dad worked for Xerox for most of my life. And something I really remember as a really little kid, like 3 or 4, I'd get on an airplane with my dad, and he'd point to the American Airlines logo, which was the AA, and he used to tell me that that was my airplane. Rachel, there's your airplane.
There's your airplane.
And I, as an adult, or maybe as a college kid, I finally asked him, I said, Dad, why did you used to say American Airlines was my airline? He said, I was teaching you your letters, and second letter in your name is an A.
Yeah.
So Massimo had some sort of a presence in my life before I even met him.
Well, I'd say that he's had a presence in a vast majority of people worldwide, right?
Correct.
Without even
Correct.
Knowing who it is in terms of like interacting with the brands that he's worked on and help shape those brands.
Absolutely. I mean, he and the thing about Massimo Vignelli is one of his theories was, if you can't find it, design it.
Yeah.
So he did not just do graphic design. It was not just print. He and his wife, Leila Vignelli, designed all kinds of things. A dishware for Knoll, pottery for Sakasi, Murano glassware, those kinds of things.
He did furniture as well.
Furniture.
Yeah.
We got our hands on some of his chairs recently.
Yeah,
they're
super cool.
So he's what's it called when something's everywhere?
Ubiquitous?
He's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Or ubiquitous. His work is ubiquitous.
Is it safe to say that you think that Massimo is probably your favorite designer, or do you think he's one of your fundamental, like Mount Rushmore of designers? Or where is he at for you?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a Paul Rand.
Well, I want to get to the good part of the story, so I want to hear about sort of your, because we actually got to meet him, and I'm kind of jumping ahead of time, but we have always joked that if someone had told me in design school that I would be making pancakes in my kitchen for Massimo Vignelli and our, at the time, 6-year-old daughter, I would have passed out, you know what I mean? Or I would have punched myself in the face and been like, that's absolutely not a correct thing. How on earth did that happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk us through like sort of how you sort of got in touch with him and how the whole thing started, I guess.
Right. So I, after working, continued on to graduate school and got an MFA at SCAD Atlanta. And one of the first field trips we went on, I was 30 years old going on a field trip, was Massimo was speaking at the Woodruff Arts Center.
Okay.
And
I think I went to that.
No, you didn't get to go to that one. Okay, but you went to one later on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think because you had to take care of our daughter at the time.
There you go. Okay.
So, and it was great. And I remember having to leave, and I gave somebody the book that I had bought and had them have him sign it.
Nice.
And even though I'd taken history of graphic design and everything, it totally opened me up or reminded me of everything he had done.
Yeah.
Because his book Design is One basically is his lecture. You know, page after page is basically what he shows you, and he'll tell you anecdotes and
everything.
That's cool. And his wife, Layla, at the time was in the audience. So, boom, that was really cool. That was cool.
Well, let me interrupt, even though I keep asking you to fast forward to the good part. It's definitely something different from, hey, I read your book, or hey, I read this design book, or I flipped through this, whatever. And then having the actual talent or the individual narrate you through the story.
It's
and
killer.
Fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
And you know, color in the margins, right?
Yeah.
And it is like, whoa, it is super remarkable.
Yeah, so. And one of my favorite things about graphic design, it probably comes from grad school, is I love to hear about somebody's process.
Yeah, yeah.
I could do that till the cows came
home. Sure, process is always a fun part. And the, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but the color commentary on your own work. Yeah. Right, there's something to be like, hey, here's the logo, here's the whatever. Mm-hmm. But the journey to get there and the anecdotes along the way is always the fun part as well.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah.
All right, so time back in. So
time back in. So he spoke. I was motivated, but I was excited. Opened my mind, reminded me that I love Swiss design.
Sure.
I love minimalism.
Yeah.
I was not working in a minimalist field at the time. So, so he, you know, his ideas cleaned up my work a little bit.
Yeah.
So cut to, I finish grad school. We may have seen him together speak somewhere, and finish grad school. I think it's my first year teaching graphic design, and somebody mentions to me that Vignelli has started doing these charrettes. And if you don't know what a charrette is, it's basically like a, you don't sleep for a week, you work on one project. And the word comes from architecture. Mm. They used to do these charrettes.
Why is it that you don't sleep?
You just don't. You have so much work to do.
Okay.
And you're so excited.
But it's a week-long, like, workshop, dare I say, right? Where you're just jamming on this one
thing. It's a workshop.
Okay.
Yeah, charrette is definitely a fancy word for workshop.
No, that's fine. Okay. All right, so he's rocking a charrette.
He's doing this workshop up at RIT and Rochester Institute of Technology.
Yeah.
I think I clear it with you. I mean, I was insanely pregnant with our son.
I remember this.
I was still okay to fly, but I think he was born a month or two later.
Yeah.
So I get up there. And at the time, when you're teaching, when you come from graphic design grad school and then you're teaching graphic design, you are just inhaling. And you need to do all kinds of professional development.
Yeah.
So this is going to crush my professional development for the college.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So I get up there, they have a beautiful first night dinner, they ask us to all go around. I want to say there were like 14 or 15 students from all different walks of life.
Yeah.
Some people had just graduated college, some people were like renowned professionals.
Nice.
And we were all going to work on these projects together, this one project, but on our own together with Massimo. So the first night they get up and they ask us to just tell the room something that no one else would know about you.
Okay.
You know? And I think they thought I was going to say, well, obviously I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I told a different story, and it was that we were going through dementia with your grandmother at the time.
Okay, wow, we're getting personal.
Sorry.
Here.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Edit this out.
Sure.
And
no, it's fine. I don't care.
Massimo looked at me, and he was going through exactly the same thing with his wife.
Yeah.
And so that kind of bonded us. But he and I worked together that week with all the other students.
Yeah.
The project was a new brand identity for the Eastman Museum, which is very famous. It's basically all the archives of the George Eastman, you know, who is the founder of Kodak.
Yeah.
All of his stuff, and the museum is amazing. It's his old mansion. It's
nice.
It's very well known in Rochester. There's an Eastman School of Music through University of Rochester.
Yeah.
It's a great place. So we're working on this all week. I mean, and I joke that there wasn't sleep, but there really wasn't sleep. Yeah. I remember going back to my hotel room and being like, you have to sleep. You're pregnant.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So I would go back, I'd get up early in the morning, drink some more coffee and work. And, you know, you'd show him your work. He'd give you ideas. He'd tell you what direction to go in. It was just one-on-one, and it was intense, and it was awesome.
Intense, but amazing. And
awesome.
Any funny little quips or any phrasing or any things that he used to remember that he would say, or feedback about your specific approach to the project?
Oh, he used this word about my project.
Okay. Well, what's about to happen right now?
I'd never heard somebody call a piece of graphic design this.
Okay.
And now I just want to say it a million times over. Okay. But he said that my execution was so civilized.
Civilized. Okay.
And I just...
I'll take that as a positive, right? Civilized
Yeah. And he got up after me. I presented it, and he—that's what was his feedback. It's civilized.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. It's budget friendly.
Yeah.
Etc. And you can cut this, but he saw a group of the students at the airport after, and they said, "Come on, tell us who had the best project."
Yeah.
And he said it was mine.
He said it was yours.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean,
that's incredible.
That's all I ever
That's amazing.
Need.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah. Are you going to be able to, that, are you going to be able to get out the door? Because
no,
your head
my
is
head
so,
is
like,
humongous.
It's inflated. Okay. All right.
Listen, I take care of three kids.
Hey, man.
I drive
that
a
is,
lot of carpool.
Well, I will say you had a great benefit of being a professional and having a professional approach.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yes. And I was not right out of school. I can churn and burn when I need to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lots of benefit.
Yeah. And we've talked on previous podcasts about the transition from school into the working world and just challenges and creativity is not a light switch. I've probably said that 10 times on 20 podcasts, but it's true.
Why can't we teach a sense of urgency? I could never teach that.
Well, that's a different podcast, I guess, is what do we want students to learn, right?
So you
do the week-long workshop,
we
right?
made friends.
Crush it.
Yeah, made kept
friends.
In touch.
Yeah.
I made friends with the people in the group. I made friends with Massimo.
Yeah.
Oh, one wild thing was George Lois.
I was about to ask. Wasn't there a special...
So for 2 days, because...
And tell everybody who George Lois is.
George Lois is like...
For those that don't know.
One of the kings of advertising.
Yeah.
He did the Esquire covers for years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remind me of some
of the most famous one would probably be the Muhammad Ali in the boxing gear where he's all shot full of arrows, reminiscent of the painting.
Yeah, yeah. So there
but
was...
But he also was also, from an advertising perspective, even though I asked you the question, he was very much in charge of launching Tommy Hilfiger. Right? And did that. So there's a great ad for the history nerds out there. Mm-hmm. There's a great case study on... Mm-hmm. Basically, the short story is client absolutely freaking out, demanding to pull everything, you know, days before launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And George, brash, you know, New Yorker, right?
So
was
great.
Like, you're absolutely not pulling it. You're effing doing this.
Yep.
And this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And he, Tommy Hilfiger, the stories are great. He's like having a conniption, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it launches and it's huge and it's a gigantic, you know, and now everybody knows Tommy Hilfiger, you know? But I won't spoil it for you if you do go out and look up the launch ad, because it was pretty interesting in terms of the positioning that George put Tommy Hilfiger in. But but anyway, all right, time back in, back to George.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I mean, the whole thing, it was a once in a lifetime affair. And thank you for taking care of the kids.
But George had something funny to say about the baby, did he not? Or we've got some great photos of you.
There was a lot of joking because we never knew what
we were going to have.
We were going to have a boy or a girl. So, you know, people were making bets. You know, there was a gentleman who was in the program who told me that his wife was just about as far along as, and he was having a boy. And, and we had already had two girls, and you just assumed we were having another girl.
Yep, for sure.
And so George was saying things like, well, if it's another girl, you got to name her Lois.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. And for a while, Massimo, I don't know if he couldn't remember my name to begin with, but he would just call me Mommy.
Yeah. I thought he called you Mama Goose. Wasn't there a Mama Goose?
No, that comes later on when he and I were teaching together.
Okay, okay. Well, let's dive into that. So you do the workshop. You
do the workshop.
We have the great,
meet George Lois.
Yeah,
super cool. And by the way,
George,
he is brash, but he is the nicest salt of the earth guy ever.
Killer graphic design book too. I think it's Celebrity, right? Yes. But S-E-L-L with like the dollar sign.
Yeah,
right?
And I brought my copy of Celebrity with me and he signed it.
Yeah. He was Titan, so huge. Mm-hmm.
And his son Luke was with him and he's a great guy too.
That's cool.
A photographer.
All right. Look at us just name dropping.
My job in life is
seriously.
To name drop.
All right. So cut to what, a year later? How long was it till later?
Yeah, so about a year later, because our son, we had a boy, our son was just shy of a year old.
Okay.
And there was talk among my friends at SCAD Atlanta, my friends being professors there, that Massimo was going to come to SCAD and try to do the same thing.
Okay.
I think they had asked me if I could consult on a few things, like the proposal to SCAD, you know, how great it was, et cetera. And I reached out to Massimo and I said, I just want to be involved however I can.
Yeah.
And he was like, awesome. You know, so what I ended up doing was I took the role of being his teaching assistant for another charrette. And this was, I think, what was this? This is another 7 days, basically. But luckily, it's just down the street from us, so I could come home and sleep.
Absolutely.
And it was great because we work hard and then we take him out and entertain. I mean, we had Antico Pizza one night. I went there with a bunch of people and he drank beer. He came to our house for breakfast and our daughter made him pancakes.
Yeah, we went out to dinner across the street.
We went to dinner at the street. And I mean, I felt...
Can't name drop that restaurant.
No, it closed. But didn't you think it was a little funny because he insisted on sitting next to me and you were kind of like the third wheel? And you were very gracious about it.
I'm okay being the third wheel. And again, I already foreshadowed that I made pancakes for everybody.
You did.
I'm gonna say
there were the pancakes. So then there was the morning of the symposium. So that's what SCAD called it, where all the students presented their work.
Yeah.
I introduced them. I talked about how Massimo, how we become generational as far as who taught us, who taught them, et cetera.
Yeah.
Massimo Vignelli is a student of Mies van der Rohe.
Yeah.
So, therefore, if I'm his student, then I'm a grandchild of Mies van der Rohe. I mean, how cool is that?
That's super cool.
That's how I introduced it. And I said, you know, we're sitting on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
The whole thing was beautiful.
Awesome.
And the symposium was open to the public. So it was really great.
Super cool.
But that morning, he came to our house,
yeah.
and our daughter took him out to see my garden,
yeah.
and he wanted a tour of the house, and I was so glad we had made our bed.
Yeah.
I mean, we had toddlers at the time, so so he came and had breakfast, he and I got in the car to take him to the event, and he put his hand on my hand, and he said, you know, I know your design portfolio, but now I saw your personal portfolio.
Oh,
and
how
it's
sweet
just
is that?
As beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, remember Kirby was just sitting there in a high chair?
Yeah.
I don't know if we say our kids' names on this, but he was sitting there in a high chair and it's just really cool.
Yeah, super cool. So what's your favorite? Because I have a funny favorite Massimo anecdote, and we can kind of end with this one. Because again, the two of us could probably chat.
We could
about
talk. I mean, Massimo we're 18 forever. Minutes here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the longest podcast.
So, any funny little anecdotes or thoughts or memories that you cherish, right? That you feel comfortable sharing with everybody.
Well, this is an easy one, but we went to the day after the symposium. I took him out to Serenby, and we had lunch there, and Zoe showed him around and everything, and at Serenby, the tables at this restaurant.
You're just saying all of our kids' names, by the way. So,
edit.
No.
So at this one table, they're covered in craft paper, and we were all drawing on it, and I had Massimo draw the broken Vignelli for Zoe, and
it's
this story of this Knoll cup that's a demitasse that if you have it. When it was originally made, if you filled it to the top, the coffee would pour out.
Yeah.
And Knoll at some point, you know, covered it up. Can you explain that better than I can? They just filled that gap. And so he was explaining to Zoe the broken Vignelli. And that's what it's called. And we have a set of those at home, of course.
Yeah, super fun.
All right, so I want to hear yours.
Mine is, and you'll probably get a chuckle out of this, is the napkin situation.
Yes.
Right. So Massimo, And again, we could talk about him forever, you know, to the point where, and you mentioned it earlier, if it didn't exist, he would design it, right? There was a period of his life where he designed his own clothes and basically wore the same outfit, call it Steve Jobs style, right? Or, you know, Zuckerberg now, everybody, right? It was like, these are the clothes. It's timeless. This is what, you know, there's no like dating of the collars are big, the collars are small, mm-hmm. the ties mm-hmm. are thin, you know, it was mm-hmm. like he had designed this kind of interesting fashion agnostic outfit mm-hmm. and whatever. Yeah. So he was very into sort of that, what your clothes and what you're wearing and this, you know, for that time.
Yeah, and we would call that a uniform. I mean, we call that a uniform now.
Yeah.
Make it easy.
So he had a very particular quirk, which was uncovered when we went out to dinner, that he loved only cloth napkins, and it was only black. Right, black napkins, because the white napkins, the fuzz kind of mm-hmm. comes off. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing, right? So we go out to dinner, and as luck would have it, that particular restaurant had black napkins. Didn't have to send a white napkin back, dare I say, right? And he was, I believe, so so plussed up that they had black napkins from the get. You know what I mean? It was like, this is a great place.
It was already a 4-star restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I just loved that, and it was like, huh? I never even thought about it, but like that guy's thinking about that kind of like at all moments of the day. Yeah. The brain is just constantly churning. So, so I always have a love of the black napkin mm-hmm. because of Massimo. So
that's a good one. That's a good one.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening to us sort of prattle on about our own history, our kids' names, and our interaction with design royalty. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of designers for me. Maybe we do a series of talk about who are the other three. You know, that could be interesting for people to listen to.
Well, as you know, I love a famous designer, and I won't.
For sure.
I love praise.
Yeah. All good. All right. Well, thanks for listening. You can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com. You can also look us up social-wise, and we will chat with you next time.